Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All season long on the Team 980 and 106.7 The Fan. Especially if you're up on like a Sunday morning driving around, you've got to tune in to Countdown to Kickoff. Earl Forsey has been hosting it for a few years now. He will host it again this year, and Earl joins me right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. You know I'm a big fan of you and the work that you do on that show, and I can't tell you how many times Sunday morning on game day that I'm driving around listening to you do the show. You are, you know, you're a fan of the team, but you also are a true historian of the team as well, and kind of have loved it the same way I have over the years. So I'll start off by asking you, are you pumped up for this season like I am compared to, like, when's the last time you were this into an upcoming season? Maybe you're not, but what's your thought on you know, 2024 and the changes?
Well, there's a lot there, Kevin. Thanks for having me on the show. What an intro. I may need to take a break after that.
Oh, stop it. You know, and I've told you this before. I think you do a phenomenal job on that show.
Look, Kevin,
really
I grew up, and I am, you know, I cut my teeth in network sports, you know, around here. Mutual Radio was based around here, Westwood One. So, you know, I've done kind of everything, but locally, I mean, football is that's my jam, you know. I mean, I grew up watching this team, and from the, you know, my recollections really personally go back to Super Bowl VII and around there, maybe the year before that. So, you know, kind of the ground floor of the, you know, eventual greatness, you know, of the 80s. So, you know, I listened to Johnny Holiday do the old pregame. You know, my dad used to love WMAL, so we used to listen to that all the time. He was working a lot. So it's flattering. Thank you. I get people reaching out, and it is kind of humbling that I've been doing it a while, and I appreciate it because it is a passion, this team. Am I excited? Are you crazy, Kevin? I'm always excited for football. But my goodness, finally, I've likened this to the movies, like the alien invasion movies or the zombie movies or something. And then when everything's done, you kind of open the door, the sun's out, everything's destroyed around you. But it's like, okay, it's a new beginning. You know, we're still here. It's a beautiful day.
The Last of Us. Did you watch that? This is like Last of Us.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. It's exciting, to say the least. This is, you know, and from a football standpoint, it ain't tough. I mean, even though the last guy here couldn't figure it out, That it should have been at least a little bit to figure it out. It's you have to have, and I'll go back to one of Ron's early answers. What's the difference? A quarterback, right? And they finally probably do have one. We don't know for sure until we see the game start, right, on Sunday. But you can't – he comes in with – and this is a unique thing because he's a COVID-era quarterback, right? And this is why he became a Heisman Trophy winner at LSU. He was around college football for six seasons. You know, all the there's a tight end at Miami in his ninth year college
ninth
football.
Year.
It's crazy.
Yeah, saw
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So this is a new era for that stuff, and it benefited him because – he ends up at LSU and with Brian Kelly and his fake Southern accent. But it was good for him because, and I heard Kelly talk about this during the draft process. I was listening to, you know, different people being interviewed about Jaden Daniels. We get all that. He was talking about that time off that they had during COVID that they couldn't do anything. They kind of went back to the in the laboratory a little bit with Jaden Daniels. What can we do to make him better? And it was, you know, this was then the impetus and the genesis of the quarterback he is now, which is this dual threat guy, and, you know, running the football more. His numbers for two seasons, 6,700 yards, 57 touchdowns, seven INTs. That's passing the football. We know he had 10 rushing touchdowns with 40 passing touchdowns last year. And I know it's college numbers. Okay, but that's, you know, that's 4A football, really, when you're playing in the SEC, right? I mean, it's as close as you can get.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, he's going to face a lot of those guys that he's been facing the last few years. This is not doing it at North Dakota State or anywhere else. And it's part of, and the big reason why there should be so much excitement on top of everything else, the new owner and that didn't work well. He didn't have much of a chance to do much last year, but the new GM, the new coach, but you only get a first chance for this, right? So you don't have to be a playoff team this year. They're probably not. These projections, these models that are coming out, Kevin, all have them still one of the worst teams in the NFL potentially. And I saw the FBI, the,
what do you think? I'm optimistic for the first time in like seven years.
I don't think
they're
that bad.
I actually think they've got a chance to be a surprise team. What do you think?
Well, I think that they're probably not going to be a playoff team. I don't think they're going to be a contender for it, but I think they can be pretty decent. Here's my theory on it. I think they were as bad as they could possibly get with a lame duck coach, no enthusiasm, bad roster, et cetera, et cetera. I think that four wins is the floor. And if you take it as the floor, here's a formula to get, you know, around maybe eight wins, maybe nine. Maybe you can get there. But how about not get swept in the NFC East? How about not go 0 for the NFC East? Let's start there. How about not get swept by the Giants? Even if you split with that pathetic team with no quarterback up in New York, that's one extra win. They should sweep them. I know that's been a thorn in their side. And you can go to the Giants back to Gibbs when he changed the offensive line and tried to beef up. The Giants have always been a problem. It's one of those things that just, that's the way it is. But how about win one of those games? Or maybe sweep them. That's one or two extra wins. I think the coaching staff in general, certainly with just someone that, you know, has a pulse on the sideline, who is a very, very, very good defensive coach and has proved that recently in Dallas, I think that's worth one or maybe two wins. I think having a quarterback who can make some plays and maybe the best quarterback they've had here since the Super Bowl wins, that's worth one or two. So let's add those up. I mean, one, and it's either 3 to 6. I know I'm giving a little wiggle room, but now you see what I'm saying. You can get the, you can just say with a little tweak here and there, better quarterback, better coach, beat the Giants once. That gets you to seven, maybe 6 or 7, and you steal one of those, one or two more. That gets you to maybe 8 or 9. I'm not saying they get there, but I think that would be kind of the ceiling. And I think, in general, Kevin, even though, look, we talk about the history of this team, and so many fans now are not of my generation. They are the new generation of this team always stinks, and the coach is always bad, the owner sucks, and the stadium's awful. I'm not. You know, I don't go back to that. I go back to, let's have expectations to be a playoff team. You know, like to do, you know, up I-95 every single year. That's what the model should be. I'm not sure they're there yet, but this really is a team. If you have a quarterback and he's the guy, and it's like, yeah, that's the guy we build around. If he proves that, and everything he's done so far, you know, pre-playing games in the regular season, has proven to people, I think, that, boy, we made the right choice and then some. That's even if you only win 4 or 5 games again, that's a huge step in the right direction. But I think, you know, winning's still important, Kevin. It's professional sports. You're judged by one thing. What did you win? How many games did you win? And they've only won 3 playoff games in 3 decades. That's not good enough for me. My point is, the drought for me is not,
in,
you know,
18 seasons. I agree with that. There are very few teams in the NFL where you go into a season and somebody, you know, of note in the organization is like, it's fine if we only win 5 or 6, because the league just isn't designed for that. Everybody pretty much has a chance every year to get lucky health-wise, bounce of the ball-wise, etc., and end up with 9 or 10 and be a surprise team in the postseason. I agree with you that the most important thing is to get to 17 games and say they got it right at quarterback. That's, to me, the most important takeaway.
And
we,
Kevin,
all
I think it would
have.
Be stunning. It would be stunning if, even though he hasn't played a single snap, wouldn't you say it would be stunning if that's not the outcome coming into the year? Don't you almost?
I don't know about stunning, so. Because we've all, you know, seen how many quarterbacks were. Felt the way I feel about Jaden Daniels. I'm a massive fan. I'm a believer in him. I have been before they drafted him. So that's fine, and it's all well and good. But there's also the recognition of every quarterback that gets taken in the top half of the first round. Fan bases think that about that quarterback, and 3 out of 4 end up not being with that team 4 years later or 5 years later. So it's
2021.
You know, it's a low
hit rate. 5 first rounders, only one still with his team.
Yeah. It's a low hit
Trevor
rate,
Lawrence.
But yes, I believe that we'll get to the end of 17 games and it will be apparent that they made the right choice. And by the way, by extension, I would say that if we feel that way, they ended up with more than 5 wins, because you can't have good quarterback play and win 5 or less. If you look at teams that have won 5 or less games over the last 5 years, all of them had either an injured star quarterback, starting quarterback, or they just had horrendous quarterback play. So that's one of the reasons I'm optimistic, because I think he'll be.
Yeah, and I saw the FPI that ESPN had him at 5 wins. So a number 2 pick again, second worst team. I don't know if it's that bad. Yeah,
they had Houston at 4.
I would expect it wouldn't be. But I think, you know, and just look, it's fans. I get it. The enthusiasm there. Oh, we got a quarterback now. All these guys on the roster, and they change it. It's a 10-win season. I'm not going there, because I think that's lofty. I would love it at the end of the year. If we're doing a playoff countdown to kickoff, you know, in January and February, I'm all for it. I think that's the pipe dream. That would be great if it ends up that way. But I think, and I'm not a temper expectations guy. I just went through it. I expect teams to win and go to the playoffs. I grew up with the Bullets winning championships, you know, and so this whole 3 decades of failure
I'm one of those that really is taken aback by it. Lived through a time where you had winning teams and it was super important.
It was a time even when they didn't have a good team, they would make the playoffs and kind of have a chance, you know? I mean, and there was a couple of years there where the Gibbs teams weren't that great, but somehow they found a way to win a few games middle, late the season and get there. You know, that was our failure back then. This is totally different. Here's the other thing about Jaden Daniels, too. This whole the LSU thing and the connection. I was listening to Jack Marucci is their director of performance, because all these schools, they have like GMs. I mean, it's professional football at places like that. So this whole thing with the it was made a kind of a big deal. The AI technology he was using, they put the glasses on. It's like the video games that my kids have. And it's fantastic with this stuff. These people developed it. They apparently do have it in Ashburn. I guess they were one of the few teams here that brought it in. So what that does, and Marucci, if that sounds familiar, if you got kids or you grew up playing baseball, Marucci bats, right? That's him.
Yeah.
His kid was a baseball player. I guess he was a smaller kid. They couldn't find the right bat. So he went in his shed and made a bat for him. And people started liking it. So he started making bats and made millions of dollars off of it. You know,
we had the guy. Didn't we, Denton? We had the guy on the show, Jack Marucci.
Yeah.
We had him on the show a couple months ago. Yeah.
Director of performance there.
Yep.
What they did, though, with this thing, and he broke it down with that whole AI thing. He said, really, he said, people call it AI, but it's more of a I forget the term he used, but it's not just AI. It lets him basically, and I know it's new age stuff and people like kind of laugh at it or brush it off, but I don't think you can. It allows him to go through reps and play a game because teams always talk about taking mental reps, right? You know, when you're on the sideline, take those mental reps. Well, this is kind of how you do it, but you kind of sort of play the game because he can see the defenses and see the way they react and the way they have this stuff set up in stadiums. They obviously like video games now. Yeah. They control the weather. They control the uniforms. They know if it's a night game, a day game, late afternoon game when the sun's shining in and what side of the end zone. If you're in the bad side, that sun's coming in. So you get to experience all this stuff leading up to the week. You know, and he's talked about that. And Marucci said it gave him about 250 extra, basically, game reps per week.
That's right.
That's what you're talking about, without getting touched, without the fear of injury, all this stuff now. And it's realistic. It's not real football. I understand that. But he can see, you know, things in the stadium that, and you know how good this stuff is now.
Yeah.
It's as real as you can get.
You know,
that if he's backed
line,
up at his own 10.
All this is great until you get punched in the face.
So I understand, but it's where the game clocks are. So, you know, it's a guy, and he's got, he obviously is a study guy. All the stuff that we've heard about from him, that he's there early. So that's part of this process that over 2 years, I mean, he wasn't even talked about a couple of years ago, right? As a guy that was going to be a potential top pick. And then 2 years later, he's a Heisman Trophy winner. I think they could do a lot worse. I think, you know, we'll see how things work out for Caleb Williams. And that was still, I think if you look at a lot of, you know, the measurables and everything, that's still obviously the number one guy. But, you know, number two a year ago worked out pretty well in Houston. And we'll see if that's the case because for him, right place, right time, right thing, right coaching staff. And we'll see. Another concern I have, though, Kevin, I didn't say about many concerns, but starting the year with a rookie quarterback and a rookie left tackle, I think that's really interesting. I know we trust in Adam Peters. I guess you're in the same boat. I kind of think you have to just go with this group for a while and trust them because they certainly know a lot more than groups have in years past. And his drafts, it looks like it's a pretty good draft. What do they have, 10 rookies make the team? I think four starters. And Sandra still is one in the secondary. He's stepped foot in Ashburn as the best corner they have on the team. But, you know, going with, and this is a third round pick, not a first rounder. There were 12 tackles taken in the draft before Brandon Coleman. And I'm not saying anything. I don't know much about the kid. I think he's big. He's one of those athletic freak guys. I get it. But starting the year with a rookie tackle who didn't play really in the preseason because of the shoulder, I think that's, that is interesting because I know they just re-signed Cosme. I know they think they have made that offensive line better. He's not stepping into the old Cowboys offensive line with five All-Pros up front. That, I think part of this is Daniels can move, and he can create his own space and time with some of the stuff he does. But that's – I'm not going to question Adam Peters. It's not my job. Certainly he's done – I think a great job in year one, kind of hit the ground running. But I think that is a move that I'll be watching to see, does this really work? And if they found a franchise left tackle in the third round, then let's start. Where's the Super Bowl next year? Well, you know, make the reservations. Really, if as a GM, if he found the guy that's going to lock down to finally replace Trent Williams over there in the third round, at the 13th tackle taken, then this is a rocket ship.
We'll take that. Listen, we found some left tackles after the draft in the past, as you know. So who knows? Earl, thanks so much. Wish you the best of luck again with another season of Countdown to Kickoff. Yeah. What time is it still 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. even with a 425
It's 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. now. We were mainly 8 a.m. for a few years. It's now 9 to 11. It doesn't really matter, the kickoff, because Denton and Linnell and then Doc, they all do the Burgundy and Gold game day throughout the day. So my portion of it's always early in the morning. I'll wake you up. I'll basically take you and grab your ass out of bed and wake you up. That's how I'm kind of that way. We hit the ground running and it's two quick hours and we're done. So 9 a.m., Kevin.
Earl, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Best of luck.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Earl Forcey, everybody, at Earl Forcey, F-O-R-C-E-Y, on X on Twitter. When we come back, Denton and I will complete our NFC predictions, and we'll give you a Super Bowl winner. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are free and live on the Odyssey app.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This segment of the show is brought to you by our good friends at T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. So we did our AFC predictions yesterday. Denton ended up with Cincinnati over Kansas City in the AFC title game with the Bengals, his Bengals, going back to a Super Bowl. I had the Chiefs over the Jets in the AFC. Earlier in the show, we did our NFC division predictions with records, which leads us now to kind of the NFC playoff seeding. And based on how mine finished, Denton, I would have San Francisco with the best overall record in the NFC at 13-4, Philly with the second best record, then Green Bay, Atlanta, Detroit, Dallas, and Washington as the three wild cards. The NFC East gets three playoff teams. They had that 2 years ago, right? because it was Dallas, Philly, and the Giants in 2022. And Washington ended up in last place with an 8-8-1 record in 2022. That would leave teams like the Bucks, the Bears, the Rams out of it. That may be a little bit out there, but you know, we do know that every year there are a few teams that weren't in the playoffs the year before that make it back. This year it would be in the NFC, Washington and Atlanta would be my two new participants in the postseason. And for me in the AFC, it would be the Jets, Bengals, and Jags all making it to the postseason. I think, by the way, in our predictions so far, and we'll wait for yours in terms of your seeding, but I don't have, other than Washington, a wild, out-of-the-blue pick for the postseason except for Washington. And usually I'll have one or two, sometimes three of those, just one, because the Jags in the postseason, the Bengals in the postseason, the Jets in the postseason, these are teams that weren't there last year, but because of injuries at quarterback, or in Jacksonville's case, you know, just getting ousted essentially in the last week of the season. So I've got San Francisco as the one, Philly is the two, Green Bay is the three, Atlanta is the four, Detroit is the five, Dallas is the six, Washington is the seventh. That would put, by the way, Washington at Philadelphia, wild card weekend, Dallas at Green Bay, and Detroit at Atlanta, the way my seedings break down. All right, Denton, what do you got as your seedings after your division by division picks?
So I got the Niners as the one seed with Detroit at two. And then we got Philly at three, and then Atlanta is the worst of the division winners at 9-8. Following them, I got the Packers as the best wild card at 11-6. The Rams at 10-7 as the sixth seed. And then I have the Chicago Bears at 9-8 as the seventh seed.
Didn't you have Chicago last year as a surprise team?
I did. And they were good at the very end.
I'm just remembering that.
Yeah, I did. And then they started 0-4, and I was like, wow, right. Yeah, surprise. But I think that team is so much it's built significantly better, and now they have a quarterback that they are going to trust to throw. I think Justin Fields is a good player, not a great player, but a good player. But Caleb Williams certainly has a higher ceiling in terms of some of the throws that he can make. Again, I think the beginning of the season might be a little rusty, might be some hurdles. But towards the end of the season and on top of that, I just don't think the NFC is going to be particularly great, certainly not compared to the AFC. I think Chicago sneaks in.
So I actually just pulled up the predictions for last year. I had the Giants in the NFC title game. I had the Eagles over the Giants in the NFC Championship game, and we did a bold prediction for each conference last year. We didn't do that yesterday for the AFC. My bold prediction was that Daniel Jones would be in the MVP conversation. That is what you call a complete whiff and miss. I also had New Orleans, Minnesota, and Seattle in the postseason last year. Seattle didn't make it last year, did they? Or did
No, it was not.
The year before with Geno Smith. You had the Bears. You had San Francisco over Minnesota in the NFC title game. And your bold prediction was Kirk Cousins would win two playoff games last year.
Swing and a miss.
And, yeah, but if he had stayed healthy, they were well on their way to perhaps being right there with Detroit for the division. All right, so that leaves us with our NFC Championship matchup and the team that advances to face our AFC winner. I've got San Francisco over Philadelphia, which means I have San Francisco KC in the Super Bowl next year. That would be a third time in the last five seasons. Back-to-back, same matchup. I think Kansas City's chances of getting back are a little bit less than San Francisco's because of the competitive landscape, AFC versus NFC. But I've got San Francisco over Philly. So I've got my number one and number two seed facing off in the NFC title game. And San Francisco advancing. I'll give you my Super Bowl winner here in a moment. But what is your NFC title game matchup?
So I have San Francisco in there, and it feels chalky to go with the Lions again. So I think I'm going to go with the Packers. I think it's going to set up in a way to where it's Niners Packers. Let me make sure that actually works up in terms of how the bracket will go. I think it does.
Would not.
It would not.
They'd face the Packers in the.
All right, then we're getting the Lions and the 49ers. Then I think
unless
the Packers
you had an upset with your 6 or 7 seed.
Do I have an upset with a 6 or 7 seed? No, I don't think Detroit's losing round one. But I think that Niners Packers game is going to end up being the game of the postseason, at least on the NFC side. I think that'll be a real knockout, drag down fight. But then I think you get Niners and Lions again.
All right, San Francisco, and who do you have advancing?
San Francisco.
All right, so you've got a San Francisco Cincinnati Super Bowl. That would be the third time they have faced each other in a Super Bowl. They faced each other twice in the 80s in the Super Bowl. And I have a San Francisco Kansas City for a third time and a rematch from last year. I have the 49ers coming through this year and getting it done, finally closing it out and getting Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch and that organization a Super Bowl. They've been so close here over the years. I think there's going to be a desperation about their season. You know, very often you don't pick the runner-up to go back and win it the next year. So often the runner-up ends up having a drop-off season the next season. But I like San Francisco over Kansas City in the Super Bowl. You've got a San Francisco-Cincinnati matchup. Who wins the Super Bowl?
I will be celebrating in the streets wearing a number 9 on my chest when Joe Burrow leads Cincinnati to the Super Bowl. I think it'll be a fun one, but I think San Francisco is the bridesmaid yet again.
Cincinnati, for Denton, who did you have winning the Super Bowl last year? Hold on.
Cincinnati.
You did have Cincinnati last year, didn't you?
Yeah,
you had. Last year, you had the exact same matchup. You had Cincinnati over the 49ers.
They're saying there's a chance this year. I just need to get it right 1 year, and I'll be fine.
Well, I mean, it's not crazy. Cincinnati, by the way, with a healthy team, they've been the one that's been able to really, you know, make the Chiefs look less than extraordinary. So there you go. All right, so you have it now. Our AFC, NFC predictions, our playoff seedings, our championship game matchups, our Super Bowl matchup, and our Super Bowl winner. Tomorrow, we will do our official final record prediction for Washington's upcoming season, and we'll do 3 bold predictions about the team as well. And we'll invite you to do the same on tomorrow's show. But you already know I've got Washington at 10-7 and in the postseason. And we both took, you know, a rookie quarterbacked team to finish as a 7 seed in the NFC postseason. Were there any teams, I'm just out of curiosity, were there any teams off the radar other than Chicago for you and Washington for me that you considered for, you know, kind of a postseason berth?
Do the Rams count as off the record? Or
No, I don't think so.
Not really. You know, I kicked the idea. I don't hate Arizona as much as you do, but I also don't see them winning 9 or 10 games. Like, I kind of like Kyler, but I realize that he has a tendency to fall apart in the second half of the season. I don't know. The NFC is weird. It feels like all the off the radar teams just really aren't like great.
Yeah, so the off-the-radar team I considered in the NFC was Chicago. And I do think the Giants are better than people think. And I picked them last year to be a super surprise team. I think they're going to be tougher than most people think. And I agree with you. I think the discussion of Daniel Jones has gotten to the point where it's over the top, and there seems to be little memory on the fact that this guy has had nothing around him as a starting quarterback, and they have tried to change that a little bit here recently, but I think they're going to be very good defensively. I think the Giants could be outstanding defensively, but I wasn't about to go Giants into the postseason. You know, I had them winning 7 games because I did bet them as an over 6.5 prop on this season. In fact, I fired in all my prop bets yesterday. I took the Giants over 6.5. I got +120 on that, which was pretty good. So in the AFC, I'm trying to think if there was anybody. Indy was close for me. I think there's a chance that they end up being much better than people think. And look, they were there last year with Gardner Minshew. Yeah, that would be it, because even the surprise division winners and playoff teams are teams that are predicted to be right there when all is said and done. Like, I don't see, you know, the funny thing about the AFC is, where do you go for a true surprise team? Like, you're not going to go New England. And every other team in that division in the AFC East, people are predicting to be playoff teams, Buffalo, Miami, and the Jets. In the AFC North, there's no surprise playoff pick. In the AFC South, Tennessee would be the one team, and maybe Indy. And in the AFC West, I guess you would say the Raiders and the Broncos would be surprises. But they're just, it's a much deeper conference than the NFC. Washington and the Giants, either one of those two teams making the postseason would be a major surprise. In the NFC North, Chicago or Minnesota, either one of those two would be big surprises. In the NFC South, clearly Carolina or even New Orleans would be a surprise. And in the NFC West, you know, I think you'd say that the Cardinals for sure, and even the Seahawks. It's not like the Seahawks are being predicted by a lot of people to make the postseason, although I think their roster is an interesting roster. It'll come down to whether or not, you know, they are coached well, and whether or not McDonald was the right choice, whether or not that new OC, Ryan Grubb, is the right choice for Geno Smith, etc. Carolina, to me, Denton, is a team that has more talent than their record indicated last year. I'm not throwing in the towel on Bryce Young. It was very dysfunctional. And look, you could look at that organization and just say David Tepper is an owner. Right now, you could consider to be one of the worst three owners in the sport. And certainly at the top of the list, replacing Snyder as the worst and the most meddlesome. And so if you say it'll never work with David Tepper as the owner of the Panthers, kind of like it was never going to work with Snyder, okay. But I think Canales was a very interesting hire. This is the guy that did it with Geno Smith 2 years ago. This is the guy that did it with Baker Mayfield last year. And it would not surprise me at all if Bryce Young has a massively improved sophomore year. And then they've got talent on defense, and it's just the division that they're in. I mean, like, Carolina's going to play some games. They're going to play six of them in the division where they're probably going to have a chance. And then they play the Giants, they play the Broncos, they play the Raiders. Like, they've got a schedule that kind of sets up where they could be, if they're much better than we think, they could be competitive in a lot more games. It's why I like them as an overplay, but I wouldn't go beyond that. It's hard to come up this year with major surprises unless you're in on a Washington or a Chicago in the NFC.
Yeah, there really aren't any. I mean, unless you, like, love Tampa. But, like, does anybody love Tampa this year?
It wouldn't be a surprise. They won the division last year. They won a playoff game. They nearly knocked off Detroit. That was a tie game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but you two NFC South teams getting in is a surprise. So if you only have one getting in, but, like, I would say an NFC South team getting in as a wild card is a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we always kind of whiff on the divisions. Like, a couple of years ago, I remember we thought the AFC West top to bottom going in might be the best division we've ever seen on paper. There was the year, 2 years ago, the NFC East was predicted to be the worst division in football in 2022, and they had the best overall aggregate record with Washington in last place at 8-8-1, and they had three playoff teams, because the Giants ended up that year with... Well, they tied Washington. So what were they, 10-6-1, 9-7-1, whatever it was? Here it is. Philly was 14-3. Dallas was 12-5. The Giants were 9-7-1. And Washington was 8-8-1. And going into that season, the division was not supposed to be good. You know, New York and Washington were supposed to not be good teams. Dallas and Philly weren't supposed to be as good as they were. You just we screw that up all the time. And of course, one of the reasons is you can't predict what the injuries and how they'll affect. I mean, Cincinnati went 9-8 last year without Joe Burrow over the last quarter of the season, last third of the season, right? When did that injury happen in Baltimore? It was kind of late in the season, and they finished 9-8. Every team in that division, 13-4 Baltimore, 11-6 Cleveland, 10-7 Pittsburgh, Cincinnati 9-8. They went 9-8 without Burrow for a big portion of that season. All right, something Sam Cosmi said about why he wanted to stay here. You'll hear that. We'll also talk about tonight's game, the beginning of the NFL season, when we return. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
Major League Baseball, Nats lose their first game of the season to the Marlins 4-3. It did so in 10 innings. Mackenzie Gore, though, was dealing. He pitched 6 innings, allowed 1 run on 1 hit with 9 strikeouts. Commanders extend Sam Cosmi on Wednesday, 4 years, $74 million, 45 of that guaranteed. Elsewhere in the NFL, Ja'Marr Chase practiced Wednesday in Cincinnati. Still seems to be a question mark as to whether or not he will play. He wants a new deal. Out in Los Angeles, the Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert says his foot is 100% healthy. In the WNBA, Caitlin Clark set another record, recorded her second triple-double this season in the Fever's 93-86 win, 24-10-10 for Clark. She's the first rookie and fifth player ever to record multiple triple-doubles in a season. And that's what's trending.
Home teams in this Thursday night opener, since the Thursday night opener started, which was not initially the Super Bowl champion opening up at home, 16-7 all time home teams. Although the last two road teams, Detroit last year and Buffalo the year before at SoFi against the Rams, were both winners. NFL season opens tonight with Kansas City and Baltimore, a 2023 AFC Championship game rematch. More on this game coming up here in a moment. I wanted you to hear two things that were said yesterday. This is Sam Cosmi, who had signed the contract extension. After practice yesterday, he met with media and talked about why he wanted to stay in Washington.
Like I said, I really like what AP and DQ are doing. I like, you know, obviously Mr. Harris is putting a lot of money and investing into the team and doing all that, and we see that as well. You know, I just feel like we have a lot of tools to the belt now and people that really, really care about this football team. And this is a place that you want to be. And again, you know, we got a special dude, you know, that I got to protect, and very talented. And, you know, that makes me excited to be here for hopefully for the next 4 years or 5 years. I'm excited for all those things.
It's good to hear. You know, this was a place where people ran from in the past if they had choices. And Sam Cosmi certainly, you know, would have had plenty of options had he decided not to sign a contract extension and instead, you know, play out this year and go into free agency next March. I mean, bird in hand, always the fact that they offered him a contract AAV-wise, which is top three, you wouldn't want to risk, you know, any sort of serious injury. But it's good to hear people say they want to be here now, talking about Adam Peters, talking about Dan Quinn, mentioning the owner, and then just saying, oh, by the way, I think we got a special, special dude that I got to protect and very talented, in referring to Jaden Daniels. There was also something that Dan Quinn said yesterday. The question that he was asked was whether or not the season opener sets the tone for the rest of the season. Here's what the coach said.
Yeah, I don't know if it sets the tone, but there is, you know, you want to make sure your identity's right, you know, and how we play. I think that's an important part of things because it is one game, but it's an important one because we get to, you know, show our identity, our style, and how we like to play. And so there's lots of lessons, you know, that you learn, and you've heard a number of times teams improve from game one to game two. Well, there's also some lessons that you learn in the preseason you know, that you find out and things you're excellent at, things you need to work at. But more than anything, I think, you know, when you and our fans watch us play, they're going to see, man, these guys are really tough. They really bring it. They finish on plays. And if the identity comes across like that, oftentimes the wins, you know, as you're moving through the season, you know, go in your favor based on that type of play style, of attitude, and how we do things. So we're really looking forward to showing that.
See, this is the thing that he has touched on since he took the job. You know, and by the way, love the answer, because it is a recognition that this season opener doesn't set the tone really for anything as in terms of the final result. We know that week one has always been a bit of a head fake. We can't figure things out, and they don't figure things out until, you know, you're he told me when he was on with me 2 weeks ago, it takes a quarter to as much as a half a season to kind of figure out what you have with your team. But he did say when he was on with me 2 weeks ago, what you want is you want the habits, the winning habits there from the jump. And that's what he's saying. It's about, you know, making sure the identity, how we play, is there. And the thing we've heard over and over again from him from the beginning, and this more than anything else, you can measure him based on how they play this season. Maybe not the final record, but how they play. Are they hard hitting? Are they physical? Are they fast? Are they relentless in terms of their energy and urgency? Are they a team that competes start to finish, regardless of the score? You know, do you see a defense that swarms to the ball, that plays to the whistle? You know, this is what he and Adam Peters are in, what they refer to as an aligned vision about. And that is, they want to develop that as an identity. And let's see. I mean, we can hold them to that more than anything else, because it is the first year of a whole new group being together, a rookie quarterback, a lot of new players on the field, and, you know, a schedule that includes playing the AFC North for starters. So we'll see how it shakes out record-wise, but these are the kinds of things, you know, that you start to build, and I think we're part of what he kind of learned and talked about, you know, kind of going back and identifying the things that didn't work when he was in Atlanta, although he did take a team to the Super Bowl, and they had a 25-point lead in that Super Bowl. But hopefully we start to see that identity come out Sunday, win or lose. So tonight we get Kansas City and Baltimore, and the very first play of this game will be the new kickoff formation, the new kickoff rules. And that'll be fascinating. John Harbaugh was a special teams coach. You know, this is an area where I guarantee you they have thought about this. Chris Horton, by the way, remember him? Played for Washington, as Jim Zorn once famously said. Old Chris has a sesamoid, whatever that was, when he was talking about his injury. But you've got, you know, that guy Deonte Hardy, who was in Buffalo, who will be back on kick returns for Baltimore. You've got Justin Tucker as the kicker. Kansas City has threatened, and we'll see what they do, but they may use Justin Reed as their kickoff guy instead of Harrison Butker. And back deep, they'll have guys like Mecole Hardman and potentially their first-round pick, Xavier Worthy. So that'll be the first thing we see tonight at 8:20, is this new weird kickoff formation. And look, I know a lot of you don't watch any preseason, so it's going to be jarring to see that when the game starts. And we'll get an idea, two really well-coached teams, what their kickoff and kickoff return strategies are. It's going to be interesting. It's not going to surprise me, Denton, if one of these two teams says, yeah, no, we're just going to boot it through the end zone. You can take it first and 10 at the 30. It's not going to surprise me if that's the strategy with a lot of teams in week one. We'll see.
I hope somebody takes one back for a touchdown today.
It'd be great. I don't like a side betting-wise. I don't. I'm not even going to play this game tonight. Are you going to play it or not?
I think I am going to play. Let me just double check to make sure the line hasn't drastically moved, but I kind of like Baltimore to cover the three.
If you forced me to play the game, I would play Baltimore plus the three. I would do the same. And I would also look at this game potentially going over the total at 46, 46.5, in part because the last time they played, it was 17-10. And it was a defensive affair. And these are two good defensive teams. So it won't surprise me if the game stays under, goes over, in part because I think a lot of people might think under, which is unusual for a nationally televised game. Fans like to bet overs. They like to bet favorites and overs. So I don't think I'm going to play the game, but if I had to, I'd probably go Baltimore over and look for like a 27-24 kind of game. Looking forward to it. We'll be back tomorrow to not only recap Chiefs and Ravens, but get you ready for Washington at Tampa. Smell test picks tomorrow. Washington beats Tampa if. A preview of the entire Week 1 board. Some college football as well. We'll get Denton's college preview tomorrow, which we did not have a chance to get today. All right, have a good day. Chris Russell's up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.